W-2 Chippewa Falls, W-2280P Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Exit from Gaza for a select few at a border crossing in Egypt. Some are injured Palestinians. CBS's Robert Berger in Jerusalem.
We know that foreign passport holders are crossing the border. Officials say it will be about 400 or 500 who are allowed to cross today.
And starting today, Donald Trump Jr. will be the first of the former president's children to testify at his civil fraud trial. Attorney Seth Baronzweig.
What the prosecution will show, I believe, is that he was very key. He was involved. He's an owner. He's a senior officer, as he admitted in his deposition.
Today, the former president bashed the judge and said, quote, "Leave my children alone." CBS's Gail King now on an arrest in a case about campus threats.
A junior at Cornell University is now facing federal charges over a string of online posts threatening deadly violence against Jewish students.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
This is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. University of Wisconsin officials say they want elected leaders to stop politicizing diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. University system leadership says DEI programming promotes more inclusive communities for all kinds of students. Governor Evers is suing Republican lawmakers after they stalled scheduled pay raises for state university workers. UW system president Jay Rothman says it's time to stop the rancor. Yesterday's snowfall set records in much of Wisconsin. A band of snow made its way from west to east across the state. Appleton saw 4.5 inches of snow. That breaks the old record of 2.7 inches in 2019. Milwaukee suburbs like West Allis report about 4 inches of snow. Wausau and Eau Claire also set snowfall records yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A vital warming shelter for the homeless population in the Chippewa Valley is extending its availability. The Eau Claire Community Haven House has announced it will now be open 7 days a week instead of 5 days a week to offer a safe, warm place for the homeless in the area. The added availability is thanks to grant funds from sources like the American Rescue Plan Act. The warming center is also looking for additional volunteers to help keep the shelter running throughout the winter. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is accepting applications for the Wisconsin Fast Forward Worker Training Grant. Employers can apply for grants of up to $400,000 to develop and implement business-led skills training programs and develop innovative solutions to meet the needs of their area's workforce. Public agencies, private organizations, coalitions or partnerships, and tribal governing bodies are eligible to apply. The application process closes at 3 p.m. on November 28th. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Packers trade Rasul Douglas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers traded defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills. The deal finalized just 30 minutes before the NFL deadline. The Bills receiving Douglas and a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. The Packers, in return, get a third-round pick. At age 28 and in his prime, Douglas joins a team now with a shot at the Super Bowl. A surprise in Las Vegas. Last night, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, fired both head coach Josh McDaniels and GM David Ziegler. McDaniels only in his second season. The Raiders at 3-5 just beat the Packers 2 weeks ago. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight to take on the Toronto Raptors. Game time, 6 o'clock. Milwaukee coming off a 122-114 win at home over the Heat. Head coach Adrian Griffin says the Bucks defense looked a little gassed in the fourth quarter.
You got a little stagnant at the end, but we learned from that. I got to do better. I don't know if I need to put another ball handler in there.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy today. We'll see a little sunshine by late this afternoon, I think, with a high of 37 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 41. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. We are going to see scattered off and on rain through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Currently, it's 28.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Wednesday, November 1st, 2023, 6 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zommers, what day of the week is it?
Pump day!
That's exactly right. Exactly right. The Geico Camel tells us, in fact, it is hump day. Hope you're having a wonderful post Halloween. Hopefully your trick-or-treat bag or your kids or grandkids trick-or-treat bag was filled of candy. And you got a couple. So I had no trick-or-treaters at the apartment last night.
I didn't get any either. I thought for sure we would get at least like two or three. I guess more Reese's peanut butter cups for us.
Right, exactly. Called mom last night up in Richland Center. Our friend Brady Ewing brought his kids over, and I think his nieces and nephews. So mom got to see all the Ewing clan with all of their costumes, all the kid costumes. That was great. And so anyway, hopefully you had a good trick-or-treat day. We're back to work here and back to school on a Wednesday. It is Wednesday. That means it is time for Civic Crossover Wednesday. Our friend and colleague, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio and the founder of Up North News, part of the Courier News Service, joins us each and every Wednesday. You can hear him every morning, 6 until 8, Mr. Kreitlow, from the frosty banks of Lake Wissota. How are you?
I'm okay, but yes, I did have to look to see if any ice was starting to form on Lake Wissota over here yet. And this is one of the few times my mouth hasn't been full with all the extra Kit Kats because we only got two trick-or-treaters.
Only two? Oh,
man. Yes, one car came up with probably a brother and sister, and and that was it. But I think the wind chill was felt like about 10 below.
Right?
So I'm not surprised that few wanted to come out to a rural street outside of Chippewa Falls.
But there were two brave souls. God love them.
Two brave souls, and we gave them a stash of Kit Kats and little Hershey bars, but there's still plenty more here to fatten me up before winter. Oops, too late.
Well, you and me both. I tell you, it's going to be, we're coming up on our year anniversary here in a couple of weeks of the show. And this is a true story. I have put on about 10 pounds since going back into radio because you just sit and read and type all the time and talk. I got to get outside more.
Yeah. I did have a kind of an exercise routine when I had the show going from 8 to 11. I'd be able to do something about 6 in the morning. But when you start the show at 6 in the morning, right. Kind of throws your day out of whack here. And so I'm long overdue to maybe start doing the show while walking on a treadmill or something.
There you go. I want to get to a couple of important issues I know that you've talked about on Up North News. And I heard our friends, Jane Matinera, Greg Bach, that precede us on As Goes Wisconsin, a great program from 10 until noon. They brought this up as well. I want to talk about one specifically that you talked about on Up North News. I joined you this morning. Tell folks, and I'll give my take a little bit later, but I want you to tell folks what you've been following up there in that part of the state and kind of give us the details on that. Because this is a very important story, I believe, for people statewide.
This is about the statue?
Yes.
the statue in Osceola. This was something that was brought to my attention through an article in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, that Osceola, a little community on the St. Croix River, just northeast of the Twin Cities, had a statue for a few years of a slightly larger than life, stereotypical Native American warrior, you know, basically naked except for a loincloth, moccasins, and the big old feathered headdress with the arms crossed. You know, all that was missing was a little button you'd push and it would go, how?
Right.
Because it was just so cartoonish almost. And it had to be taken down for a while some work was done to some nearby building. Then there was a debate about whether to put it back up on this busy street in Osceola. And people saying, by and large in the community, that yes, it's a symbol of our town and it's a sign of reverence, et cetera, when, as I reminded them this morning, that symbol is not yours to decide whether it works for you or not. And that especially now that we're in, you know, Native American Heritage Month and learning more about culture, we had a guest on this morning, an educator, who talked about the ways that if you really want to show reverence, if you really want to talk about honor for our Native American neighbors, get to know them. You know, break some bread, learn about their problems, their challenges, their opportunities, learn about their past, rather than wasting time debating whether a statue should go up or not, or whether the tomahawk chop is racist or not. We know the answers to those things. So how about you move on to something current and productive?
I thought it was a great interview, Pat, this morning. You get Up North News every morning, 6 until 8. And when I was on your show earlier today, I just mentioned that one of the most rewarding parts about my career as a legislative aide, both at the state and federal level, was when I worked for Dale Schultz, and he was part of the state tribal relations board. For those who don't know, there is actually a legislature of the tribes in Wisconsin, and he sat on the state tribal and government legislative board or committee. And it was a chance to go around the state and for Native American representatives from their legislature to meet with Wisconsin's legislature and to share ideas and understanding. And once you hear the stories and speak less and listen more, you start understanding the cultural significance, truly the religion, right? I mean, I talked about this morning about these rice fields in northern Wisconsin where Scott Walker attacked the environment there. This is essentially their church. And former State Senator Bob Jalk from northern Wisconsin was instrumental in this. Tim Cullen, Democrat from Janesville, and my former boss, Dale Schultz, Republican. And they really led the effort to broadening understanding and then, you know, trying to tell Wisconsin schools, look, having Native American mascots is just not only not cool, it's irreverent.
Well, and the thing that makes it even more so in the case of this particular statue, as I learned, is it's not like this statue dates back to the, you know, the 1920s or something, and it's been around for forever, for generations, and it's, no, it's from the early 1990s, when we were already well aware, gosh, some would say woke, you know, already well aware that there's, you know, cultural misappropriation is something that's real and that you can do better.
And I think the more we, and look, I get for a lot of people who don't think they know a Native American or have never, you know, overtly gone to maybe a powwow and witnessed kind of the wonderful just pageantry and history of these things. If you never listened before, I can kind of get that you don't maybe understand fully how offensive it is. But just go, as you said, Pat, go to one of our great areas in Wisconsin and learn more. Go online more. Listen to those around you. And I think you'll understand just how disrespectful these things are, how hurtful, quite frankly, how hurtful.
Yes. Yeah. And the last thing I said about it was noting that one of the people that was kind of leading the charge to keep the statue in place said at a village board meeting, well, I put this up as a question on my Facebook page, and 98 to 99% of the people said, yeah, we should keep the statue, which is not a real poll by any stretch of the imagination.
Facebook, you know, is not a poll, no.
Yeah, so don't do that.
I want to move on to this topic. We're going to talk more about it and take your phone calls, listeners, after the break. The number is 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You played this on your show. Jane and Greg played it on As Goes Wisconsin, filling in for our friend Kristen Bry. This is from the Joint Finance Committee. Was this yesterday, Pat, I believe?
Yes.
Yesterday. And, you know, Howard Mark Lind, who people have heard me talk about a lot from Southwest Wisconsin, is the co-chair of that committee. Tony Kurtz from Southwest Wisconsin, also on the committee, both Republicans. And yesterday, State Representative Deb Andraca, Democrat from Whitefish Bay, asked a very simple question about farmland preservation tax credits. For those of you who don't know, the simplistic way, correct me, Pat, if I've got this wrong, but I think I'm pretty right. For farmland preservation is to say, hey, farmers who are using this for ag purposes, we understand there's a big push to try for you to develop and sell this land, but we want to preserve farmland in this state. We want to preserve farming. And so as long as you make $6,000 in gross farm revenue per year on this land, pretty easy to do, we're going to give you a very small tax credit, between $5, $7.50, or $10, depending upon which program you're in. And you have to do certain conservation things and keep up the land and certain ag practices. But it's a way to encourage people to stay in farming.
Yeah, it's very responsible compared to just selling it to the developer that comes along for a golf course or a strip mall.
Right. But this program is not kept up with inflation, unlike the tax credit for private school tuition. Let's play the first part of this, Mr. Zomers, and we'll get Pat's reaction. Here is Deb Andraca yesterday in Joint Finance.
I have a question for some of my Republican colleagues. Again, I'm still trying to make sense of what we're doing here. Just a few minutes ago, we declined to index the farmland preservation tax credit to inflation. But in this, in Senate Substitute Amendment 1, we are choosing to index private school tuition deduction to inflation. So can someone explain to me why farmers don't deserve to have their tax credit indexed, but parents who choose to send their kids to private school do?
And thus and begins
35 seconds. No, this is still going.
Right.
At this point, the camera for Wisconsin Eye has pulled back. We're now seeing the full committee. People are kind of looking at each other. Deb Andraca is waiting for any Republican to respond. Anybody? Bueller?
Yes, sir.
Bueller? Howard Markline, the chair, could have at any point tried to say, well, because of this or this. And
he's
just
looking around.
Just sits there, reinforcing the point that this Democratic Assembly rep is making. Until finally,
I guess there's really no explanation why we are choosing parents who send their kids to private school to have an index and farmers not to. We just literally made that choice to not index that tax credit for our farmers in our rural areas to inflation. So thanks. I suppose I have my answer in my non-answer.
Exactly. I mean, as I called it this morning, called this with Deb Andraca, off the top rope, she comes down. And takes out any credibility that these Republican legislators on Joint Finance have when it comes to their priorities on tax cuts.
I just hope, Pat, that people of the 17th Senate District and the 50th Assembly District, when they see Howard and Tony out in southwest Wisconsin, the beautiful farmland, that they just ask them the question. Hey, Tony, hey, Howard, why didn't you want to answer that question? Why don't you believe that farmers should have an index raise in their tax credit equal to private schools?
Oh, I believe they should. I just, you know, my hands are tied. I think you're overestimating the amount of power I have as the chairman of the Joint Finance Committee.
Pat, this is just unbelievable, right?
Yes, it is. And it just shows where their values are, that they are replacing the governor's special session bill with one that not only doesn't help child care providers, but provides even more of a tax credit for people sending their kids to private schools. That seems to be their only true constituency in 2023.
Yeah. Pat Kreitler, you can hear him every morning, Up North News Radio 6 until 8. I appreciate you, my friend. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day.
You betcha. See you later.
Very good. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of your calls on this, the silence of Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens
or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap. You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. Restless dreams I walked alone.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 20 minutes past high noon on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wednesday, November 1st, 2023. Mr. Zahmer is on the board. Thanks to Pat Quitelow, you can hear Up North News Radio every morning, 6 until 8, across the Civic Media Radio Network. In case you missed it, Mr. Zahmer, we might play this again, just because it's so impactful, if you want to dial that clip up again of the Joint Finance Committee yesterday.
Yeah, it's still here.
All right, very good. This, to me, is a microcosm of the arrogance of not just Howard Markline and Tony Kurtz, but so many other particularly Republican or MAGA legislators right now.
But not just them. I would say that this echoing silence is something we are hearing from both parties on several issues.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But I think what we've seen, I guess the reason I picked them out is because of the issue of the closure of these two-year campuses. And we've seen these two guys, you know, Dumb and Dumber, if you want to call them that. They quite the duo. You know, go out to Richland Center. They're not, by the way, they're not dumb. And that's what makes this so frustrating, is that they're actually very, I mean, Howard likes to, Senator Markline likes to go around and tell people, boast about it. He's a CPA, certified public accountant, an expert on money issues. Remember that part. Howard Markline, State Senator Howard Markline, Republican of the Spring Green area, representing Southwest Wisconsin, roughly from just south of Wisconsin Rapids, the Juneau County line, the Nisita area, all the way down to the state line with Illinois. Kind of from not parts of the Wisconsin River and then over to the Mississippi River on the Grant County side. He is a CPA. He is a financial expert, Howard Markline is. And yesterday, when State Representative Deb Andraca of Whitefish Bay asked very respectfully, I might add, there was no snark, there was no attack, asked a legitimate, straightforward issue about finance. Just ask a straight question. And Howard Markline, as the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, refused to give her an answer and looked around like, well, I don't know. I mean, dialed up for yourself on Wisconsin Eye. By the way, Wisconsin Eye, a great asset to this state. It is the Wisconsin equivalent of C-SPAN. Comes across most cable companies. I believe it's on Dish Network as well. And you can get it online as well, on your computer or on your phone. Wisconsin Eye. You can see all this for yourself. Don't take my word for it. But the arrogance with which Howard Markline, a CPA, just looks around when asked a straightforward question is indicative of how little he cares about the voters of Wisconsin. Because he doesn't have to answer to the voters anymore. He just answers to the big money interests of the party power that run the millions of dollars of TV ads every 4 years and gets them reelected. I mean, he came out with Tony Kurtz to Richland Center, my hometown, and looked people in the eye when they begged them respectfully to find money and a way to keep the Richland campus open. And Aaron was right, last segment. They looked at folks there and said, well, you know, you overestimate my power. I there's nothing I could do. There's no money. At the time, there was $7 billion in surplus. Now it's down to around $4 billion surplus sitting in the state treasuries. And they had the audacity to say there's no money. and refused to answer questions at a listening session. They listened, but they wouldn't answer questions. They gave a general statement at the end. And now, and again, this farmland preservation tax credit, all right, I want you to understand, this is not just, you know, free money, giving free money to the farmers. What this is designed to do, as Pat Kreitlow correctly pointed out, is to say, you know what, we understand that our ag community is under more and more pressure with a lack of housing and developers wanting to come in and giving you millions of dollars for your land. We want to preserve Wisconsin's rich farming ag heritage. So it's basically, it's just a stipend, really, right? But it's something. You know, ask a farmer how hard she or he works every day. How ungrateful people are to farmers and the ag community. Most of them, not everybody, but a lot. But at least a tax credit is a little bit of a nod of saying, hey, thanks, we appreciate you. And right now, the farm tax credit, farm preservation tax credit, is either $5, $7.50, or $10 an acre. We're not talking huge bucks here, all right? In state budget money, that's less than pizza money. And so Representative Andraca simply asked, why isn't the farmland preservation tax credit keeping up with inflation the same way that Republican-controlled legislature has decided to give an inflation increase on the tax credit for private schools, for tuition? And Howard Markline literally had no answer. And remember, he is a CPA. He knows the answer. He's too embarrassed to give it. Because the real answer is that the private school tuition folks write huge checks to my campaign reelection fund. And as much as I give lip service to the farmers in my district, other than a handful of large farms, I don't care about the donations from those other farmers. The $100, the $500 doesn't matter to me. That's the answer that Howard Markline refuses to give. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Bill in Oconomowoc, what say you?
I'm amazed at their ignorance and their arrogance, because those two are tied together. I just think that after a while, we can't even give them an audience because they have no interest in representing Wisconsin. I think the way to deal with them, say, you know what? That voucher program that you want to increase to private schools, let's allow that to happen. We're all for it, but we're going to drop the tax-free status on private schools, and private schools are going to help pay for what they're getting, because the Wisconsin taxpayer gets nothing. Right. What you guys do, what you do, is educate people and how their money is not being used but being stolen by people who are governed by donors. And I think the more they're out in the open, their faces are all over the place. I called Ron Johnson's office the other day to say that he's got to either resign or be held accountable. He doesn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. He can't keep masquerading to be called a representative of the state of Wisconsin, because he's not. These people are not approaching. They're criminals. And they got to be treated like that.
Appreciate the call, Bill. Thanks so much, Bill in Oconomowoc. Appreciate the call. We're coming up on a break here. But I think he's right. You know, a lot of this comes down to accountability, right? And again, the reason why what happened in joint finance yesterday, one of the many reasons this was important, was it shows how fearless Howard Markline, Tony Kurtz, and the Republicans of the Joint Finance Committee are of you, of us, of the electorate. But as a minister used to say, Sunday's coming. There might be a case in the Supreme Court that changes the map. Stay tuned. Back after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. An inmate died at the Waupun State Prison Monday. It's the third prisoner death in Waupun in 4 months. The Dodge County Medical Examiner says autopsy results won't be ready for a couple of months. The Waupun prison has been in lockdown since March. The Journal Sentinel reports about 1,000 inmates have to stay in their cells around the clock. Families say they're concerned about health care at the prison. Wisconsin Supreme Court Chief Justice Annette Ziegler delivers the annual State of the Judiciary Address in Lake Geneva today. It's part of the annual Wisconsin Judicial Conference. The veteran conservative justice has clashed with the new liberal majority on the court over several issues. That includes appointing acting state courts director Audrey Skorowski, who's also addressing the conference. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. A train derailed in Stanley between 345th Street and McKnight Street just after 1 a.m. on Wednesday. According to law enforcement officials, an estimated 10 rail cars were involved in the derailment that was reported by the Canadian National Railway. In a press release, the Stanley Police Department said there are no dangerous goods involved and there are no fires or injuries. The cause of the incident is currently under investigation. Law enforcement also advised residents to steer clear of the area. Proposed legislation in Wisconsin would expand the state's safe haven law, allowing full anonymity when surrendering a newborn to authorities. The bill would introduce safe haven baby boxes in the state, which allows a parent to place a child in an electronically monitored box at a fire station or hospital that will call 911 on its own when the door shuts. Safe haven baby boxes founder Monica Kelsey says when a baby is put into one of these boxes, authorities are able to pick it up in about 2 minutes. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Packers trade Rasul Douglas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers traded defensive back Rasul Douglas to the Buffalo Bills. The deal finalized just 30 minutes before the NFL deadline. The Bills receiving Douglas and a fifth-round pick in next year's draft. The Packers, in return, get a third-round pick. At age 28 and in his prime, Douglas joins the team now with a shot at the Super Bowl. A surprise in Las Vegas. Last night, the owner of the Raiders, Mark Davis, fired both head coach Josh McDaniels and GM David Ziegler. McDaniels only in his second season. The Raiders at 3-5 just beat the Packers 2 weeks ago. NBA, the Bucks are on the road tonight to take on the Toronto Raptors. Game time, 6 o'clock. Milwaukee coming off a 122-114 win at home over the Heat. Head coach Adrian Griffin says the Bucks defense looked a little gassed in the fourth quarter.
You got a little stagnant at the end, but we learned from that. I got to do better. I don't know if I need to put another ball handler in there.
That's the Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. I'm Mike Clemens.
Weather brought to you by Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Bug Tussle, we're out there.
Mostly cloudy today. We'll see a little sunshine by late this afternoon, I think, with a high of 37 this afternoon. Tonight, clear, 23. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, high of 41. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy with a high in the upper 40s. We are going to see scattered off and on rain through the weekend. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Temperature now 30.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the valley and all of Wisconsin.
In fact, it's on tap every day.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Oddball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon, just turned to 35. Glad to have you along with us on Hump Day, Wednesday, November 1st. Changing the pages on the calendar, Mr. Zommers. And let me just take this opportunity to share a personal note with each and every one of you. And people who know me very well, my closest friends and my family, they understand one thing about me. That my favorite day of the year is the day in which we turn our clocks back. This weekend, we reclaim our hour of sleep that daylight saving time so ruthlessly stole from us in the spring.
But wait. If it's spring ahead and fall, I have to think about it every single time.
You fall back, you turn your clocks back.
Right, turning the clock back, it gives you an extra hour. Right. That's right. I was thinking it was the other way around. No.
You turn your clocks back, so this Saturday, before you go to bed, now the new clocks, your iPhone, your Android phones, it does it automatic. But if you have an old-fashioned clock or whatever, make sure you turn it back an hour, and then on Saturday night, and when you get up, you'll get up. And you'll be like, well, wait a minute, it's more light out. And I feel refreshed. And I feel, you know, this is what happens on the Sunday and the Monday after daylight saving time ends. People are kinder. People are in a better mood. The world works better. It was when I worked for the legislature, it was one of the few, for about a week and a half, 2 weeks, I was on time. because I was an hour ahead. So in all seriousness, make sure you, I really do actually though. I love the weekend where our clocks turn back.
Arguably, I think we should just get rid of daylight savings time. I don't think it really serves much of a purpose in modern day society. And also the day after that Monday where we spring forward is one of the most dangerous days of the year to exist in society.
Right?
It is.
I think like heart attacks go up and everything.
Heart attacks go up. Car accidents go up, all kinds of stuff, because people are short 1 hour of sleep because people's bodies get used to a rhythm. Right. And not everyone's body can handle just having your rhythm flipped like that.
No, not at all. So I just wish they'd decide one way or the other, really, you know. So,
that would be nice.
Yeah. But anyway, make sure you turn your clock back, your public service announcement here at Civic Media. Remember to download the Civic Media app on your Apple device or Android device. It's free. It takes less than a minute. It's what Gail King calls a deal. The Civic Media app. You can listen to all the fine programming across the Civic Media radio network. I want to take any more calls you might have. 844 on this issue, by the way, of the Joint Finance Committee yesterday not having an answer. Not having an answer at all for Devin Draca, the representative of Whitefish Bay, who simply raised the question to a certified public accountant, Howard Markline. I mean, Howard Markline talks about being a certified public accountant as much as Derek Van Orden talks about being a Navy SEAL. It's his calling card, right? So you would think, I'll tell you this, if Howard Markline can't answer a simple question like why are we not increasing, giving an inflationary index increase to the farmland preservation tax credit equal to the tax credit for private school tuition. If Howard can't answer, if he really doesn't know, boy, if you hired him to do your taxes, or if you might want to get a second opinion.
Yeah, I mean, either he's willfully hiding information, which is, I'm 99.9% sure that's the case, or he's incompetent and bribed the person who gave him the CPA certification.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I mean
what's the other option besides those two? It's
like going to a dentist, and you say to your dentist, you say, well, you know, does this molar need to be removed, or can we just do a filling? And they look at you and just be like, I don't know. Well, if you can't answer that, doc, I'm probably going to find a different dentist.
Well, it's worse than that, because it's not just I don't know. It sounds a little bit more like this.
Yeah, crickets. Absolute crickets. And that, again, dial up the video on Wisconsin Eye, because to watch this in real time and to see Howard Markline, especially as the co-chair, just sit there and look back and forth at his colleagues like, I don't know what. I mean, it reminds me of like when you see like an old hound dog on a porch on a summer day. And this hound dog, he's had, you know, he's seen everything and he just doesn't care. And you might have a kid go by playing with a hula hoop. You might have a cat walk by. And the old hound dog just sits there. His eyes just kind of go back and forth. His jowls kind of drooling. Now, Howard didn't have any drool coming out of him. But he just sits there in his chair, looking back and forth like an old hound dog. They just don't care. So, I don't know. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. We will continue to follow the trials, the tribulations, and the saga that is the Joint Finance Committee and Howard Markline. Taking a look at the WMDX text line here from Angie from Monroe. You can text us on the Civic Media app. Angie says this about daylight saving time. A lot of people don't realize that this daylight saving time stuff is a lot to do with the kids going to school. They're not waiting in the dark to go onto the bus or walking home in the dark gives us that little extra daylight. That's what I was taught. Well, maybe that might be true, perhaps. I think originally it had to do with the agriculture community and giving farmers more daylight during harvesting and field time. But now most farmers have lights on their tractors or whatever. So,
and it's also for businesses and just everybody to not have to use as much energy. So even if they did have lights on their tractors, they don't have to use them during wartime and things like that.
Right. So yeah, there's a little history, but yeah, we'll see. But make sure you set your clock back because we still have it now and we'll go back to standard time this weekend. I want to get to a story here in Madison. And it's, of course, an international story that we have followed since day one. But I want to talk about the statewide, or at least the local, I would say statewide, importance of the Israeli-Hamas war. And what happened here in Madison over the weekend. The University of Wisconsin-Madison put out a statement yesterday entitled UW-Madison's Statement Related to Social Media Coverage of Off-Campus Protest. Well, right there, I've got a problem with the headline. Because if you want to call this incident off campus, you just aren't familiar. You're not being truthful about the situation. Here's what happened. The Hillel Foundation, there's a house called Hillel, and it provides a home for more than 4,000 Jewish students attending UW-Madison. It's a pluralistic organization supporting all of the Jewish movements as authentic expressions of Jewish life. I'm reading off the Hillel website right now. Hillel engages students, cultures of a Jewish community, develops leaders, complements the classroom, and embodies Jewish values. Hillel is an independent, nonprofit 501c3 that partners with the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So if you're familiar, the facility, the building, Hillel, is on Langdon Street, where all the frat houses are. It is surrounded by the University of Wisconsin-Madison, essentially an island. So yes, Hillel is a privately owned 501c3 separate from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So technically, the statement from UW-Madison is technically legally correct. It was off campus. But again, I mean, that's completely disingenuous because clearly Hillel is surrounded by, within inches of University of Wisconsin-Madison property. So over the weekend, there was a protest. If you want to call it pro-Hamas, if you want to call it pro-Palestinian, that people came and stood with Palestinian flags and started yelling and having a protest outside of the Hillel House on campus. Now, there are varying reports. I'm not going to get into spreading mistruths, all right? But I'll simply say that there were reports on social media that a Jewish flag was cut up, perhaps burned, that there were other despicable signs there. I don't know all the particulars. I'm not going to report that as such. We do know there was this protest, anti-Israeli, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish protest outside the Hillel House on campus. So UW-Madison writes, we are aware that the allegations about what happened during a protest that took place in front of Hillel last week are circulating on social media. These accounts are significantly exaggerated. According to numerous eyewitness accounts from the university, Hillel staff members, and members of the University of Wisconsin Police Department, while we understand that any protest in front of Hillel is likely to cause some distress, the protest itself was by all accounts peaceful, and all planned activities took place within Hillel without interruption. Causing some distress. If you're a person of the Jewish faith, Jews who have been persecuted for millennia, I hope that I don't have to recount the history of persecution of Jews in this country, around the world. And you have a protest outside the one building on campus set aside for you. You think it might cause some distress?
Also, even if it's a completely peaceful protest, if they're just standing there with like maybe a sign that says we stand with Palestine or something, standing outside a house with Jewish students is not standing outside the Israeli government protesting there. Yeah. Like these people had nothing to do with it.
Exactly. And my question is, if this, because I correct me if I'm wrong, with this, I believe there are fraternities on campus that are predominantly black.
I believe so.
What if there would be a Ku Klux Klan rally, a peaceful, quote unquote, peaceful Ku Klux Klan rally outside one of the black majority frat houses on campus? I think the statement would be dramatically different, would it not?
Yeah, absolutely, it would.
I mean, if you had KKK rally with hoods and Nazi swastikas standing outside a majority black frat house on Madison's campus, they would be apoplectic, and as well they should be. But yet, they take this kind of milquetoast, namby-pamby approach when it comes to these quote-unquote peaceful protests by pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinians outside of Hillel, and they have the audacity to call it off-campus, only because that building isn't part of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The statement from Madison goes on to read, it says, contrary to social media posts, no violence occurred, nor were any direct threats expressed, and a flag was not cut. Madison police responded to a call from Hillel. So I mean, Hillel, they would not call the police if they didn't feel threatened. All right? So, okay. And again, this is parsing things out, right? This is Trumponian. Well, I didn't call for anyone to exactly be killed. I just said, you know, back in the day, this is what would happen. It's the same thing here. Maybe these pro-Palestinian protesters didn't specifically say, hey, we're coming in to kill you. So that's not a direct threat. But some of these, I've seen them march up and down State Street with their Palestinian flags and despicable signs about Israel. And I'm all for expressing peacefully. But when you surround or at least stand in front of the main door of a Jewish institution on campus, and if you can't call that a threat, I don't know what is. The statement from UW says the Madison police responded to the call and officers were present to ensure safety. Come back and take your calls on this. Talk a little bit more about it. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Town Hall Ball Show for Wednesday, November 1st, 10 before the hour of 12 noon. Mr. Zomers on the board. Interested in your take on this. What happened at University of Wisconsin-Madison over the weekend, a protest being characterized by UW-Madison administration as peaceful, meaning, I guess by peaceful, there was no physical harm to a person or a building. But a crowd carrying flags from a group who has vowed to eradicate you from the earth seems less than peaceful to me.
Well, is that accurate? I just want to say, if they were holding Palestinian flags, they were not holding flags of anybody who's vowed to eradicate Israel from the earth. If they were holding Hamas flags, absolutely. That's awful. That's KKK equivalent.
I wasn't there, so I haven't seen all the pictures from the event, so I don't know what flags were where.
Right. But I just wanted to make sure that we do say that if it's just Palestinian flags, that's just another country. Like, they are not the ones.
Well, recognized by some people as a country, yes. It's not internationally recognized, but yes, it is recognized by some of the Palestinian Authority as different than Hamas. Absolutely.
At any rate, it is not a terrorist organization.
Right.
Hamas is.
Hamas is a terrorist organization. But the fact that people could be allowed to surround a peaceful place where it represents 4,000 Jewish students on campus, approximately, to be surrounded by that and somehow call it peaceful. I just don't get it. I want to be fair and finish up this statement by UW-Madison. UW-Madison is committed to community safety. UW-Madison police are working closely with the Madison Police Department to conduct extra patrols on and near campus, in addition to university staff. And they're attentive to on-campus protest activity. Campus officials urge caution and advise a critical eye during this time of heightened tensions to take care of how we view, respond to, and share content on social media. UW-Madison unequivocally decries violence, the threat of violence, and harassment or hate directed at individuals based on their identity. At this moment in particular, we strongly condemn anti-Semitism and Islamophobia. We will address complaints of illegal discrimination based on identity. We continue to work with our communities to foster a sense of belonging for all. That key word. We will address complaints of illegal discrimination based on identity. So again, if you know how to walk that line and don't cross it, we'll allow discrimination, apparently, just not the illegal discrimination. I find that a little bit too much.
It reminds me of that video from a few months ago of a student saying a whole bunch of racial slurs against black people while she was drunk. And yes. Then all kinds of students were protesting, like, hey, seriously, there needs to be some kind of disciplinary action for this person spouting the N-word and other horrible things. And then they're just like, well, she didn't do anything illegal. Right. It's fine.
I know. Hear from, this is important. The Hamas spokesman, Ghazi Ramad, gave an interview in the last 48 hours. And this reporter, Hugo Bakcha, tweeted this out. Said that the Hamas spokesman abruptly interrupted my interview and walked away after I repeatedly asked him how he could justify the killing of hundreds of civilians including many women and children, in the 7 October attacks on Israel. Later, in a separate interview, the same guy, Ghazi Hamad, the spokesperson for Hamas, said this, quote, "We will repeat the October 7 attack time and again until Israel is annihilated. We are victims. Everything we do is justified," unquote. I ask the question again, as I keep repeating on this show, and I believe my friend and colleague Matt Flynn has on his show as well. How can you negotiate with people who defined victory as your annihilation from the earth? You can't. You can't negotiate with people like that. There's no negotiating when they say victory is determined by your annihilation. And look, I've been very clear on this show that all violence, all death should be condemned. And yes, there are innocent civilians in Palestine who are being killed as well. And the loss of life is tragic. And yes, humanitarian relief should be allowed to come into Gaza. And reports are this morning that now the border between Egypt and Gaza has opened and at least some people are being allowed to leave. And over the last several days, several semi-trucks of humanitarian relief has been allowed to go in. But again, as I have repeated on this show, Hamas is a terrorist organization who uses women and children as shields. Hamas has been in control of that country for 15 years. Israel pulled out. Israel said, we can live in peace with Gaza. And it was Hamas controlling Gaza who unprovoked attacked Israel and butchered women and children. And they have every right to defend themselves. And part of defending yourself is eliminating the people who want to kill you and get rid of you. And yes, I think that many people have forgotten history, as Matt Flynn is fond of reminding us. It's been said by 100 people, and it's trite, but it's succinct. Quote, war is hell, unquote. Just the way it is. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it fair, but war is hell. And Hamas are the ones that brought this war upon Israel. And they have every right to defend themselves. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Jesse in Madison. Jesse, thanks for listening. But about a minute left. What say you?
Thanks. Love the show generally. But there's something that both you and Matt Flynn have routinely get wrong. About knowing history, by the way. This is within the last 20 years, and it's very, very well documented. Doesn't make it up to the American press always. Sometimes you need to dig a little bit for it, but not too much. There are members of the Israeli government. It's not the position of the Israeli government, but that's nary an important distinction. There are members of the Israeli government that have also called for the eradication of the Palestinians. So it's a mischaracterization to say that it's only one side doing it. And
I've run out of time, Jesse. I appreciate the perspective, but you nailed it. It's not the Israeli government saying that.
From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown. 93.5, The Tap. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.